transfer window is slammed shut and clubs know what they'll be working with for the rest of the season. And there was also a whole round of matches. Will we fit it all in and under an hour? Who knows? So let's jump straight into it. I'm Colin. I've got my guy Justin here. How are you doing, man?
I am good. To fit in last week, how the rec team did last week. We played the dirtiest team ever. Got a red card in that game. Had to play left back. I hate defense. Their team was a bunch of 22-year-old frat boy assholes, as I think Kyle put it. So I might or might not have yelled at Kyle that game too. It was terrible. It was all awful. So we're done with that segment now, Kyle.
Okay, yeah, I guess I won't add any thoughts, but done is done. They were dirty. Yeah, there were some wild challenges there.
They probably would have even injured Ronaldo in that game. I mean, they were just flying into tackles. Ronaldo would not be happy if he had to play in that rec game.
Oh no, there would have been so much pouting. Did you see obviously we'll get into Ronaldo, but did you see he slapped a guy today?
He did, that's right. The Irish guy. Yeah. I did see that, but isn't that crazy though? Getting into real news now. Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo back in the Premier League. And if I had to tell you a star that I thought would be in the Premier League, a couple months ago, it would have been Messi, right? When he was rumored with Man City and he's the Barcelona thing and all that. And, you know, Messi to Barcelona or Messi from Barcelona to Manchester City. And then Ronaldo, it was rumored that he wanted out of Juve. And then he was rumored with Man City, Kyle. And we were all thinking about that. Man City is getting the striker that they need, that we all said in the transfer window. And then he's like, oh, nope, going home. Manchester United. And what a bit of business, and having one of the best players ever back in the Premier League. Got to boost the podcast ratings, right?
Oh, it's got to. It's got to. And we've been talking about Messi boosting the podcast for 2 years now. So we asked for Messi. We got Ronaldo. Can we complain much? No. I mean, I rate Messi over Ronaldo, but this isn't a Messi versus Ronaldo conversation.
No.
Even if you're... look, Ronaldo's never been my favorite on earth. As a person, image, whatever, but how can you not be excited by this? I mean, totally different player now than what he used to be, but this is one of the greatest ever players, one of the best Premier League players ever. You know, I mean, obviously in terms of overall stature, he's definitely the best ever, but during his time in the Premier League, he still probably was up there. I mean, the flashy winger that he used to be, banging in free kicks here and there, the tricks, the back heel goals. I think he scored 30 plus goals that last season before he went to Madrid. And then goes to Madrid and becomes a complete goal scorer. But he's basically a striker at this point. You would think he'd play on top of that United team with Rashford, Greenwood around him. I mean, just a ridiculous talent. He's such a machine. And I know we were talking offline, but I think he's got a few more years in him. I mean, he's the most fit player that I can think of who watches over his body more than anyone else. He has this crazy sleep schedule. He has this crazy eating schedule where he eats 7 small meals a day. He does his cryotherapy weird stuff. The guy's a madman. He's a machine. And look, every time people doubt him, I'm kind of doubting can he really do it in the Premier League at this age? I've come to realize whenever I doubt him and others, he's gonna overcome all of that and completely. I don't know, man. I don't know what more you can say about Ronaldo, but what a signing, and how can you not get excited about this?
Manchester United back in action. Who do they play? I just had it up. They play Newcastle at home at Old Trafford. Will that be Ronaldo's first game back at Old Trafford? You'd think that's a great one to start at.
Mm-hmm. You'd think he'd go straight into the team, too. I mean, he's fit. Just scored 2 goals for Portugal and became the leading international goal scorer in history.
I don't know. It's a tough competition with Anthony Martial, though. I don't know if he's going to get playing time.
Is Cavani hurt, by the way?
No, he just came back. He stepped back on in the last game. So he's back. He was, I think he was back from an extended Copa America rest.
United got some options, though, now.
They do, and Cavani stayed. And so we'll get into all the transfers. But yeah, it's looking interesting for them. Let's get into the transfers, Kyle. I mean, obviously, you mentioned we have some games to cover, and we'll get to that at the end. But the transfer window just slammed shut. It's fresh in our minds. So what we're going to do here, So we're going to go through each team, some more in depth, some very quickly, and we're going to give our grades and just, you know, outline the major signings and where else to start. I mean, we go alphabetical, but there's nowhere else to start besides Arsenal Football Club, Kyle. Right now, they're dead last in the EPL table. -9 goal difference, Kyle, and without a goal scored. They spent the most money in the transfer window this season. And not only did they spend the most, but they have the most net spend, meaning they didn't sell anyone really either to generate the profit. So big signings coming in. Ben White, £50 million center back from Brighton. Martin Odegaard coming over from Real Madrid. Aaron Ramsdale, the goalkeeper from Sheffield United. Tomoyasu, a defender, Japanese defender, Japanese international, coming over on deadline day from Bologna, I think. I don't have that up. Then major outs. So that's not everyone that came in. Those are just the major ones. And then major outs. Willian went to Brazil. Bellerin on loan to Real Betis. David Luiz released. And Joe Willock sold to Newcastle. So, Kyle, what do we make of Arsenal Football Club's window? And, you know, this whole narrative of that they don't spend money needs to be completely squashed because they spent the most money and had the most net spend this entire, in a record-breaking window, Kyle.
Arsenal. How? Okay, so I'm trying to differentiate Arsenal's transfer window and everything else going on with Arsenal. We haven't even gotten into what happened this weekend.
No, we will.
Trust me, we will. It's not looking good. And look, I've been saying for a while that Arsenal does actually spend money. I know under the Wenger years at the end, you know, you could argue he wasn't, even though they brought in players like, you know, Sanchez and Ozil, and those were all worth a lot of money, Aubameyang and whatnot. But it's hard to know what to make of this transfer window because the owners did put their money where their mouth is. But are these good signings? Are these signings that are going to make an impact now? I mean, I would argue they will make an impact in the future, but $50 million for Ben White. I mean, Varane was cheaper. You know what I mean? God, Romero was cheaper. I mean, Pau Torres would have been cheaper. So it's hard to know what to make. Ramsdale is not a signing that particularly, you know, stands out to me. Is he any better than Bernd Leno? I don't think he is.
Maybe.
Exactly.
It's a maybe. Yeah.
They're both average Premier League keepers. Tomiyasu was linked with Spurs all summer, but, you know, of course, Arsenal is like, what are Spurs doing?
It could be a decent player. I mean, we don't know. It could be, yeah.
And he can play center back and right back as well. Right. He also offers defensive solidity as a right back, which I would argue they don't have because Cedric is more of a attacking-ish.
Cedric's not good, so yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, the ish. For me, though, I really like Martin Odegaard. It's a lot of pressure on him, though. But I guess maybe it isn't necessarily a lot of pressure with Smith Rowe also being able to play that position. So, look, there are good players there. All four of those players could become really good. They're all in their early 20s, but, man, highest net spend, most money spent. They're in terrible shape. Does this really improve them? The fact that we're even asking questions says a lot.
So what's your grade?
I'm going to give them a C. I was thinking about giving them a worse grade, but because I think all four of the players we mentioned will go on to improve the team, that alone boosts them up to a C. But I would argue that it doesn't improve them immediately. So, but I guess I'm feeling nice and generous, so I'm going to give them a C. What's your grade?
I'm definitely saying it doesn't improve them, especially in the interim. I mean, it's kind of a weird window, right? You know, you wouldn't guess based off the profile of player that Arsenal spent the most money. And tell me if this is too harsh, but Arsenal are linked with all these players or James Maddison or whoever it is. But it kind of feels like Arsenal went for players that no one else wanted.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we didn't even mention Lokonga in our profile. He went for like £19 million or something like that. I think he's really young, 18 or 19 years old. So, I mean, they did get some big earners off the books, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. It seems like an experiment, and at least for this year, I think Arsenal is in for a long year. I don't think this is going to help them. We'll see what we see their strategy and investing in young players, and we can see how, well, it'll take time to see, but as far as this year and improving the team, I have to give them a D.
That is an important detail, though, is they did shift on a lot of these older players who didn't really seem interested, who were on high wages, who definitely weren't helping the team. So I think, I don't know, sometimes I think people undervalue outs at a club, and Arsenal desperately needed that. But man, there are going to be some serious growing pains with Arsenal on this one. Another team with a lot of change going out. They did sell their marquee star player for a Premier League record transfer. Of course, I'm talking about Aston Villa selling Jack Grealish for a cool £100 million.
More, a lot of money, Kyle.
The most money ever spent in the Premier League. I know there have been a handful of transfers more expensive than that in the world, but I think the Paul Pogba one was the most expensive before this Grealish deal, I believe.
For a Premier League player, I think so. That was like 80-something, yeah. Right? Yeah, so...
So that's a huge, huge, huge gaping hole to fill for Aston Villa. Going to be near impossible, but I would say they spent that money pretty wisely, bringing in Emi Buendia, Championship Player of the Season last year from Norwich. Danny Ings, great Premier League proven striker.
Mm-hmm.
And then another great talent with Leon Bailey coming from Bayer Leverkusen. Can play either wing, left-footed, really cheeky player. And they made a net profit of £7 million. So... look, I guess I'll give them the grade first. I think as far as replacing Grealish, they did well. And for that alone, I'll give them a B. But I think it's going to be challenging to improve on last season, but it's possible.
Yeah, you think that, you know, Aston Villa, they have ambitions. They have a good CEO who came out with a statement when Jack Grealish that I praised on the podcast saying, like, that's very transparent. And if I was a fan of Aston Villa, I would love that type of content. They seem to spend it smartly on good players, right? I mean, we both value Danny Ings pretty highly, and to go to Aston Villa, that's a pretty good coup for them. So yeah, I give them a B as well. I think that's a very solid replacing one with three, and I see the strategy. I get it. So hopefully those players work out for them and made a profit. Brentford, Kyle, our Moneyball team coming up from the Championship. Most people are going to love them and have them as their second team along with Leeds United, probably. Not a lot of transfer activity. They kind of stuck with their core players that got them up, which in recent times seems pretty rare. I mean, we just see like the Watfords, and we'll get to them, and Fulham basically coming in last year and signing 11 loan players, and you know, all these recent squads buying all sorts of players. But Brentford, really only one notable signing of Christopher Ajer from Celtic. I don't know how to say his last name, so you correct me. I don't know.
I think the J's a Y thing.
No, that can't be right. From Celtic, they have another one that they got from Midtjylland as well, but basically the same squad that got them up from last year. So what do you make of Brentford?
I think it's hard to judge with this Moneyball team because something tells me there's a lot more in that list of ins than we know, because Brentford is just the kind of club that bring in these players from left field on not a lot of money. They turn out to be good players and they sell them for a huge profit. You know, who would have thought Ivan Toney from what, I don't even remember where he was, Peterborough or something, would come in and bang 30 goals in his first championship season. So they seem to find these players out of nowhere. Great. They're ran great. So it's really hard to judge, but maybe I'm going with my gut more than anything because I really can't say. So I'm going to give them a B. I'm impressed by the bringing in Ayer, whatever his name is, from Celtic alone. I'm sure there are some other gems in there. So I'm going to give them a B, but that's not an informed guess.
I have the exact same, so I won't beat a dead horse, you know, but you just have to trust it. I mean, they've been so successful. I mean, not just last year, but going back, I mean, they produced Neil Maupai, Benrahma, Ollie Watkins, some missing players, but I mean, really good recent successes. So just kind of trusting this one and seeing how it develops, but they've started the season well. We'll see what happens. Brighton, our favorite team, used to be our least favorite team. We wanted to blow them up and send them to outer space every week a couple years ago. They grew on us last year, for sure, with their very nice jerseys. I think we said that every week. Less good this year. But Interesting business this year. I will start us off here. I mean, they have a couple ins. Cucurella signed on deadline day, being probably the most relevant, coming over from Getafe. Couple other smaller transactions. Got a guy from Salzburg as well, but
yeah, Salzburg guy, Mwepu, is the other one who's, again, I don't think either of us really know much about him, but he's supposed to be the other big name, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, those are the two big names, Cucurella and Mwepu. Outs, obviously, Ben White, big, obviously going to Arsenal. Davy Proper, veteran, leaving on a free. So Brighton, I don't know that their squad's any better or worse. I think I would have loved them to sign another center back, but of course they did get the center back back from loan from Celtic, who was gone last year, Duffy. So it kind of go either way. I'm just going to give them a C, just bang average. I think they're, you know, a similar team than last year. I would have loved for them to get a striker, which I think where you're going for this, Kyle. So how do you rate Brighton's window?
Yeah, look, I think Cucurella is a good deal. I mean, former Barca left wing back kind of player. I think he'll, you know, he'll be very noticeable with his giant poofy hair and good pace. I think he'll be a good player. I don't really know much about the others, so I can't really comment that much. I don't think their team is any better though. And I think they had a huge misstep by not signing a striker. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Neil Maupai go down with an injury last week, or maybe the week before? Maybe it's a minor injury.
I think it's a minor knock, but still scary for that team.
Still, I mean, if you asked anyone what they thought about Brighton last season, they would all say the same thing. They play good stuff, exciting to watch. They try to walk the ball into the net, and they never score, never. And that's the one thing keeping this team back. So they desperately need a striker, and they somehow missed the boat on that. So I'm going to grade them as a D, because that's a huge failure to me to not sign a striker. And that's even with being excited about Cucurella. So I just, I'm shocked they didn't sign a striker with that Ben White money. And then, like you said, you know, bringing back an old center back who they let go out on loan last season as a replacement. It's, look, they'll be fine. Graham Potter's a great manager, but it's questionable business for me.
Moving on, Burnley Football Club, the team that never spends money, spent money. They bought a player. I mean, I think we need to have like bell sound effects. We need to have the town cheering, something going on. But they bought Maxwell Cornet, Champions League left back from Olympic Lyon. You'll remember him probably from the City game where Lyon upset Manchester City in the Champions League a couple years ago. Other than that, I mean, what else? Connor Roberts. We don't have this written down. I'm just trying to grasp at straws.
I'm seeing Aaron Lennon, Wayne Hennessy.
Oh, Aaron Lennon.
Aaron
right.
Lennon.
Coming back to Burnley. Former Tottenham Hotspur great, if we remember Aaron Lennon.
Way back.
It's hard to judge this. I think Burnley never spend money, so spending money is great. Sean Dyche is good at getting nothing from something, or I'm sorry, something from nothing. But you can't, it's hard to say that they're better than they were before. And so that's why I'm going to give them a C again. And it's almost a C minus for me, Kyle. Where do you have them?
I guess I'm feeling pretty generous. Burnley, pretty much every transfer window, I give them a big fat F because they sign absolutely no one. I predict them to be relegated every single year. Sean Dyche always proves me wrong. I mean, there's something to, honestly, I love Sean Dyche, and the fact that he's kept this tiny Burnley team up is great. Credit to him. But the fact that they even signed someone that's exciting and then signed, you know, a proven Premier League keeper as well to play backup, I think that's pretty good business for them. So I'm going to give Burnley a B, and I just can't believe a player has gone from Olympique Lyon to Burnley United Kingdom. So kind of shocking to me, but good for them. I'll give them a B. It's as good as that. The team over in West London did, though. My God, Chelsea Football Club, Justin. Talk about crazy, crazy, crazy transfer windows. When I say who they bring in and then let like half of their loan army go, or maybe a quarter of their army. the fact that they've broken even pretty much is unbelievable. But their major ends, I'm sure you've heard Romelu Lukaku already has his goal. He changes the complete course of the season and probably a fair few people's predictions for who's going to win the championship. On transfer deadline day, they also brought in Saul Niguez from Atletico Madrid on loan. He's played in the Champions League for Madrid for like 5+ years at this point. He's a great player. I think we all rate him highly. I think he'll be really good in the Premier League. He's not just a crafty technical player, but he's got some physicality to him. I said they sent out a lot of the loan army, but they also sent out Tammy Abraham, Tomori, Zuma. I'm sure I'm missing some others here and there, but they've, you know, so many loan players have gone out. I know Conor Gallagher is on loan at Crystal Palace and he's smashing it out. So you name it. Look, they broke even with Lukaku and Saul. Unbelievable. The two areas where they really needed more players in their whole squad. A++++ for me. Chelsea have won the window for me.
They had a fantastic window. The only reason I'm not giving them an A++++, and it's only a flat A, is because Jules Koundé from Sevilla would have been the crown jewel, I think, for that team, getting a young center back to come in and really highly rated. But with that said, I mean, to Brakey, I mean, what, 3 million net loss in this day and age, getting Lukaku, world-class striker, top three striker in the world right now. And Saul, who's going to come in and just, you know, they only had 3 good midfielders. So to have 4 and this fixture congestion and injuries that they've had in the past, Conte's gotten injured a couple times and missed some games. So having a player like that, and I think he translates to the Premier League. He's not this La Liga fancy type. I mean, he's bullish. No. He will go and get the and hunt the ball. So coming from Simeone squad and knows how to win too. Chelsea's a team that has players that know how to win too. I mean, clearly winning the Champions League. So it's a stacked squad. They lost Zuma. They lost Tammy Abraham, but these are fringe players for Thomas Tuchel under his squad. So without losing much and breaking even and getting best striker in the world in midfield depth, I mean, it's hard to argue that they had, I mean, I don't know how it's lower than an A.
Absolutely. Look, all I got to say is to their director of football, Marina Granovskaya, I think her name is, take a bow. Wow. I mean, she's got to be up there for one of the best directors of football in the world, because that is just total masterstroke. And I hate to admit it as a Spurs guy. Moving on.
It helps when you have a lot of money, though, like to spend. Okay. I mean, Chelsea, like Manchester City, is just, you know, daddy Warbucks, right? I mean, just endless supply of money to spend. So,
well, they also always have like at least 40 players out on loan. I think at one point in the beginning of the summer transfer window, they had 50 players registered on their squad or something crazy like that.
I mean, so you look at this list of outs that we're looking at right now. Crazy.
Yeah. And how they, like, just elaborate a little bit more on that, how they produce these many players in some positions is crazy. I mean, they've brought Reece James up from right back, but they've also sent out Tariq Lamptey to Brighton at right back. They also sent out Livramento, who just went to Southampton. We've never heard of him before, and he looks great after the first couple of games. I just don't know where they get all these players.
Kyle, I was cutting you off, but I think you were transitioning to Crystal Palace, going to another London-based team. And this is one that's very interesting. We saw them release a lot of players at the end of the window, at the beginning of the season. But they brought in deadline day Edouard from Celtic, a striker coming in pretty highly rated. Kind of surprised that not many other teams were going for him, to be honest with you. They got Guehi, who was on loan from Swansea City, part of Chelsea's loan army, actually sold to Crystal Palace. Another one of Chelsea's loan army that is loaned is Gallagher, and Anderson, who we spoke highly of at Fulham last year, went to Crystal Palace. And then they lost Andrews Townsend, Patrick Van Aanholt, Gary Cahill on freeze. So Crystal Palace did do a little bit of business. Patrick Vieira is probably more happy than not, but I'm not sure. I think they're maybe a little better than they were before. I'm not sure how much better they are, but they did get a striker. They did replace some of their players. Gallagher does look bright in the early parts of this season. I'm going to give him a C+, Kyle, for being slightly better. But what do you have for Crystal Palace?
Palace has got be one of the toughest to judge with their transfer window, because look, they had an aging squad and a manager that also was like coinciding with that and just retired at like 78 years old or something crazy like that. But they released like 10 plus players, and a lot of the players that we've known and seen in the Premier League for them for years and years. So look, it was always going to be a huge, huge, overhaul, but I'm impressed, with their, incomings a lot. They brought in a lot more than I actually thought they would. I really think 15 million for, Odson Edouard is a total snip. I can't believe other teams weren't going in for him. And look, I think there are a lot of good signings there. I think Anderson and Guehi will be good as well. So I'm feeling pretty kind. I'm going to give them a B. And I guess that is like considering the context of, you know, how big of a job this was ahead. So I think they've done relatively well from a difficult situation. So I'm going to give them a B.
Everton Football Club, they're building a new stadium, new money's coming in. There was a whole talk of swirling that James Rodriguez was going to leave, but he stayed. Who knows if he's going to play, but high wages, stayed at Everton. But looking at their transfers, they got Andrews Townsend on a free, Asmir Begovic on a free, Damari Gray from Leverkusen for less than $2 million, and Solomon Rondon, you remember that name? From Newcastle United back in the day, Venezuelan international, from a free from Dalian Professional from China, coached in China by Benitez too. So just follows him around everywhere. Out of Everton, you have Moise Keane. That was one, you know, I thought he would be better at Everton. I really do.
Yeah.
That here. One's a disappointing one for me. Went back to Juventus on a loan, Josh King left on a free, Theo Walcott, etc. So looking at Everton holistically, they have much of the same squad, a couple of cheap signings. I'm going to give them a C for being like bang average, not much change in their squad. I think they're going to be more so hard-nosed and harder to break down. But thinking about it, it's a weird window for Everton. It's hard to break down. They didn't get much better, and they didn't really clear a lot from their team either. I don't know. What do you make? It's hard. I'm giving them a soft C, but I'm like not convinced. I'm not convinced myself. Are you more convinced on your grade?
No. Well, I mean, I'm convinced on my grade, but not convinced of this business. Look, we could be proven wrong, and this could be great business, because I think their net spend was like
it's next to nothing. I mean, they basically broke even.
Yeah, it's like $1 or $2 million. It's nothing. We're pretty much on Damari Gray, and then they had a bunch of free signings. I just don't think their squad is improved. I question a lot of these signings. I don't rate Andros Townsend. Didn't rate Damari Gray before, but he's been great so far this season. The one that I actually do rate a lot is Solomon Rondon, who I know you're not as crazy about. So, but then again, will he play that much? And I guess if, you know, Benitez is playing with two up front, you know, maybe he does. And Calvert-Lewin, you know, has some injuries here and there as well. So there's your big physical striker. But still, all that being said, I'm going to give it a D just because, you know, not spending any money on players that I'm not too stoked about. Look, I hope I'm proven wrong, but it doesn't fill me with excitement and joy for the season ahead for Everton.
It's crazy to me that they couldn't get Moise Keane to work, but PSG kind of was interested in him. Juventus is interested in him, but they instead opt for Solomon Rondon instead of trying to make Moise Keane the thing. It's bizarre to me. I don't know if I'll ever understand that one.
It is bizarre. I think Moise Keane played for like some FA Cup or Carabao game recently and then had like a wild, wild red card and just stormed off and acted like he didn't want to be there. So I feel like there'd be some kind of story there. I don't really know. I feel like Moise Keane might have tried to force that one as well. But you're right. He, you know, he scored like one or two goals.
Didn't work. You know, Leeds United scores more than one or two goals, and they brought in a deadline day signing absolutely to the final hours. And Daniel James, former Swansea great, went to Manchester United. Fringe player for United, I would say, because he got some starts in, but mostly a bench player. Paid £28 million for him or something like that. So they spent money on Daniel James. They also brought in Jack Harrison permanently from Manchester City, Junior Firpo, from Barcelona were the big signings. And then didn't lose much. Helder Costa back up on loan, and they lost to Hernandez, who was a player for them, if you remember, on a free. So, and Alioski as well, their old number 10. But he's more of a left wing back. So looking at Leeds, I think they're, again, another bang average. I think they're probably a very similar squad. Daniel James will come in and start and have that high energy and high pace, and a player that Bielsa's targeted for 2 years now. So he's liked Daniel James for a while. But at the end of the day, I really wish Leeds upgraded their defense. A part of their team that you've seen has been shaky a little bit and will be shaky going forward. So that's why I can't get them anything higher than a C.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I'm also going to give them a C. And I think the only thing I'll really touch upon here is the Dan James deal is really interesting, because I know that was a deadline day situation mm-hmm. when he was still on Swansea and before he even went to Manchester United. And it was even documented in the, Bring Us Home Leeds Amazon documentary, where they actually have Daniel James on camera, like, coming into the ground, doing his medical and this and that, and it just falls apart at the last minute. Daniel James is just like twiddling his thumbs, like, what just happened? So look, the prodigal son returns in some weird way. I don't really rate Daniel James, but look, if a manager like Marcelo Bielsa is after you for years and years and wants to improve you, I mean, I don't think there's a manager that's better for him. So, but just bang average business. So I'm just going to keep it at a C for Leeds United. Your boys Leicester, though, they did pretty well. They had some good business.
I think very solid, right?
Very, very solid. One of the better windows out there in the Premier League. They brought in Patson Daka from Salzburg. Great, young, very promising striker. Boubacari Soumaré from Lille. Lille just had so much talent last year, man. It's kind of crazy. Really young, promising center midfielder. Not that much money either. Ryan Bertrand. Yannick Vestergaard, also from Southampton, the center back from Denmark. And Adamola Lookman on deadline day. All five of those signings, I think, are actually some pretty good signings. I'm going to jump straight in, give it a B+. Very close to an A. I was thinking an A maybe, but I'll keep it at a B+. What are you thinking?
It's very solid business. I give it the same grade, not going to add much to it. I think the only interesting thing is the Lookman deal on loan for deadline day is fascinating. I mean, adding another depth piece for like a winger, I think, is smart. But if you look at Lookman's career, a couple of years ago, he was on Everton, and Demarai Gray was on Leicester. And they've basically just done a swap of those two players. And, you know, both wing players, kind of a similar game. Lookman had a decent season at Fulham last year, so curious to see if he can bring on that. But I mean, Leicester, just very smart business. You know, Vardy aging, Daka coming in, 1 year left on his contract, 27 million. A lot of money, but for the player in the year that he had last year, Austrian player of the year, that's good business. Soumaré, 1 year left. So yeah, and not losing anybody, you know, too. Madison was rumored to leave. They have Tielemans that was rumored to leave. He stayed. Dennis Pratt left on loan to Torino, but again, he never saw playing time, and they got Soumaré in there.
I think really old players were phased out, like Wes Morgan and Christian Fuchs. They were both mid-30s, you know?
They replaced with Ryan Bertrand, though, and then the Vestergaard's coming in after Fofana got injured. So very smart business. B+, very solid. Moving on to Liverpool. Liverpool's an interesting club. You know, they were top of the table, really good 2 years, obviously winning the Champions League, winning the Premier League back-to-back. Brought in one player. One player did their business nice and early. Ibrahima Konate from Leipzig. Some people rate him higher than Upamecano that went to Bayern Munich. So very bright player. Hasn't played yet, really, this season. Outs, they lost Wijnaldum on a free. Basically, that's about it. They got Reece Williams, went on loan to Swansea. You'll remember that name from a panic buy last year. Shaqiri left on Lyon. He had a couple good games for Liverpool. But they did get Harvey Elliott back from loan, and he has already played a role, so that seemed like a new signing. So, and then all their center backs are healthy. That's a weird thing to see Liverpool. So that's almost like new signings as well. I'm gonna give them a C. I don't think they got that much better. I think they're similar. I think that more than anything, I think the health of their players and having a healthy back line is a big win for Liverpool. But as far as their transfer window, I think it's very bang on average. So C for me.
Yeah, for a club as massive as Liverpool, pretty uneventful transfer window and not really much to talk about. So I'll keep this quick. But I agree with you on the C grade. I see a lot of people out there and some pundits like bashing their transfer window like they stood still while everyone's progressing. And I don't really see it that way. I think just the sheer amount of injuries they had last season and bringing some of those back will be a complete game changer for them. And I think Konate, if they needed any signing anywhere, I think Konate was that guy. Probably where they could have also improved was at striker. But with Diogo Jota banging in the goals and even in the box, in the air and everything. So maybe he is the answer. And you've got him and Firmino and somehow Origi's still there as well. So I don't think it's the worst ever. I'm just going to leave it at a C. Pretty uneventful window for Liverpool. Also, it was weird. I was going to say pretty uneventful window for this next club, Manchester City. It was, but it wasn't, because we had the rambling, constant transfer saga of the entire window with Harry Kane not actually moving to Man City. And I say uneventful, but they did just an already Premier League record for most expensive signing ever with Aston Villa. £100 million. They lost a fair few amount of players on free, like Sergio Aguero, Eric Garcia, Jack Harrison left, but he never played for them anyway. That's really about it. So relatively quiet. I would love to get your thoughts on this, but City's transfer window, I think, really changes the complexity of this season. I cannot believe they didn't sign a striker. I'm like floored and dumbfounded that they didn't actually have a backup plan to Kane. And then Pep is going out and being a dick about it, saying Daniel Levy knew everything and blah, blah, we tried. And I'm like, you know, they did not offer enough money for Harry Kane. So I'm not feeling great about their transfer window. And even though Ferran Torres looks promising in that striker role and Gabby Jesus looks like he's on good form, I am just dumbfounded. So I'm going to give it a D. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't have any counterpoints. I think Jack Grealish, I will say, is a fantastic player. I'm not trying to bash him by any means because I think he's a great player. I just don't know that City needed him. I really don't. He's going to come in and play for City. I'm not arguing that, but I don't know. And City also kept hold of Bernardo Silva, a player that was supposed to leave all summer long. And probably because they didn't sign a striker. I think not signing a striker leaves the title race wide open. Absolutely wide open. With no favorite, to be honest.
Look, it'll be a huge achievement if Pep wins the season without a striker. Like, it's a huge achievement.
And you can argue some players look better so far. Ferran Torres looks better and all sorts of things, right? Like, Gabby Jesus has had a good couple games. But I'm going to give him a C-. You know, they needed to sign a striker. They didn't. They're worse off for it. Moving on to the other team in Manchester. A very eventful window as well.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we had a crazy window. I mean, Tom Heaton coming. No, I'm just kidding. Tom Heaton is not the marquee signing. Cristiano Ronaldo, we led off the show with this. Coming over from Juventus, massive player. Scored 2 goals in international play today against Ireland. I mean, clearly still has the goods. All for £13 million, Kyle. I mean, Manchester United.
Probably already made that back in shirt sales.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Messi made $30 million in one day, or actually 1 hour, I think, for PSG or something like that. So I'm sure Ronaldo sold $13 million of shirt. Well, maybe not yet, because they don't have the number yet out, but I'm sure they will. Jadon Sancho came over from my beloved Borussia Dortmund for a lot of money. And Champions League winning defensive or center back Rafael Varane coming over from Real Madrid. For £41 million. Note that's £9 million less than Ben White from Arsenal. So you look at all those business, and that's not a ton of players, but it's so much quality injected to that Manchester Crazy. United squad. And without really losing anybody of note, yes, they lost Daniel James, which we alluded to earlier, but they kept hold of basically all their important players. And have Jesse Lingard back too, a player that proved he could do stuff at West Ham and can be a really good substitute option for them when maybe Bruno Fernandes wants a spell or whatever it is. So I'm gonna give them an A.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Justin. And this is a club who I've criticized their hierarchy for years and years of ineptitude, especially with transfers. You know, we all know how much of a blunder Ed Woodward has been over the years, but this transfer window was different. Sure, they spent a lot of money, but this was targeted in areas where they really needed improvement. Look, I love Mason Greenwood, but I still think they needed another wide player. I've always said since Lukaku left that they needed a striker. Never thought that would be Cristiano Ronaldo. And now Harry Maguire has a competent partner in center back. Not only competent partner, I know some people, one of our friends who's a Madrid fan, doesn't rate Varane, but that blows my mind. Cause for me, he's still one of the best center backs in the world, but you know, maybe he's seen something we're not. I know Varane also has his other critics, but that's unbelievable business to me. And look, I didn't think I'd be sitting here saying that United are going to be challengers for the title, but with that business, I mean, nothing is for sure, but this definitely puts them into the equation. So it's got to be an A for me. Have to be.
Moving on, we'll be quicker with some of these, but not as many big teams left. So we'll roll through this. Newcastle, United, Joe Willock coming in, and Santiago Munez. I'll let you speak to that one. Newcastle didn't really lose anybody. I don't think their team got better. I think they're weak on a lot of areas, and they did not address that. I think Steve Bruce is under massive pressure. I think this is an F for me. Absolute F. I mean, really missed the boat on improving their squad.
Yeah. Well, before I get into the grades, Santiago Munoz, some of us might remember the movie Goal, when the main character Santiago Munoz signs for Newcastle. Can't make this shit up. I wonder if that was part of the thinking in bringing him in just for the headlines. Kind of bizarre, but he came from Santos Laguna and Liga MX, but definitely an interesting one. Look, I think they needed Joe Willock based on his form at the end of last season. He was unbelievable for them. I think first player ever to score 6 goals in consecutive games. But their budget was basically £25 million, Justin. And instead of addressing multiple areas of the pitch, which they always need every summer and they've desperately needed, they spent it on one player, granted a player that they really need. So the fact that they really needed Joe Willock bumps it up from an F to a D for me. So not quite giving them a failing grade, but it's pretty damn close, Newcastle. And Mike Ashley, the owner, he strikes again.
Ownership is a big question mark. Obviously, there was that year or two ago where Newcastle, Mbappe to Newcastle, I remember that one. And they're rumored with all these big players. But until they get that situation sorted out, I think Newcastle is in real, real danger.
I think they've got the most difficult relationship with their owner as a fan base, more than Tottenham, more than Arsenal, more than United, you name it. So anyway, moving on to Norwich City, little old Norwich, yo-yo club, classic. I actually think they have some pretty interesting business that they've done. A lot of question marks, but Ozan Kabak, remember him? He was on loan at Liverpool, second half of last season, comes in. Brandon Williams on loan from Manchester United, the left back. Josh Sargent, USA, USA. You know, we have our question marks about him, but he's coming in from Werder Bremen. Billy Gilmore is a really nice signing on loan from Chelsea. He's looked great in the Premier League, but they did lose Ollie Skip, who is now playing at Spurs, who's massive for them, apparently. I mean, you could probably speak more to that than me. And then their replacement for Emi Buendia was Rashika. I thought he's looked pretty good so far in the Premier League. So, but as we said, their best player did depart with Emi Buendia, but they did keep Max Aarons, Todd Cantwell. So I think with their shoestring, very limited budget, I think they still made a profit. Yeah, it's hard for Norwich to attract players. So I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to give little old Norwich an A. Stay up and fight off relegation? No. But I think that's some pretty good business.
It is good business. I gave them a B for the exact same reasons you've said. I just don't know if they improved their squad enough to stay up. And here's the thing about Norwich, too, is their owner has come out and said, we want to be a top 24 club in England. That's a very specific number because there are only 20 clubs in the English Premier League. So they are destined to be a yo-yo club where they go down, they come back up, etc. Look, I think they're going to be competitive and have good games. This is not a Huddersfield Town, situation, or a Sheffield of last year. They will be competitive despite what you've seen in these first three games here where they've had a tough run. But B makes their squad better, 100%, but not enough.
I think they're better than they were the last time they came up. So
probably.
I think this last weekend, it was against Leicester, I believe. I think they showed that they can at least compete. So
they were competitive, no doubt, in that game. Southampton, another team that a lot of people have questions about this season. And given the investment and the outgoings, obviously they lost Danny Ings to Aston Villa and Yannick Vestergaard to Leicester City. Big signings, but they did get Livramento from Chelsea. They got Adam Armstrong to place Danny Ings from Blackburn, a very highly rated striker coming out of the championship. It looks like he has goals in him too, I will say. They got Perrod from Brest, a French team as well. They got Theo Walcott on a free from Everton. Look, Southampton, I don't think they got any better for sure. I'm going to give them a C to C minus on this one. I think they're probably slightly worse. I do like the Adam Armstrong signing a lot. Oh, they got Lianco as well, I forgot to say, from Torino at a deadline deal as a center back to replace Vestergaard. So they did replace him. You know, jury's out. I don't think they're any better. They might be slightly worse, but you know, it's going to be tough for Southampton and Hasenhüttl this year, but they did replace the players they lost. We just don't know much about them. So that's why I'm giving C to C minus.
Yeah, that's why they're hard to judge, because on paper, man, there are some serious concerns. They've lost some major players and they're bringing in a lot of people that, you know, folks don't know. And so I think the questions are valid. That's why I'm going to give them a D, but I've heard quite a few transfer expert reporters actually say, you know, their business is a little bit better than it seems on paper. For example, that Tino Livramento, the right back from Chelsea, I've been so impressed with him the first couple weeks, and he's just bombing up and down that right hand side. I don't know where Chelsea finds these guys. So Armstrong, I need to see a little bit more, but it looks like he's a good finisher, and I know he scored a lot of goals in the championship and has been highly rated. So I feel harsh giving them a D, but like, it sounds like there's potential for us to be pleasantly surprised.
You're hot and cold today, aren't you? A for Norwich, D for Southampton. It's all over the place. Man, this teacher, I mean, you had a glass of red wine and you're just stamping the papers. It's, you know, you ever have a teacher like that? It was just like hot and cold. No, this didn't land at all. You know, where your grade was either really good or really bad. Tottenham Hotspur, Kyle, you're really pissing me off now. Had a window, right? I mean, this is a busy window for Tottenham, and not just from the business. It's also the lack of business in Harry Kane and the saga. And Daniel Levy, as you said, who knows everything, right? So here's what Tottenham had going on. They got Brian Gill in that swap deal. You said before off air that Tottenham never does swaps, but Partici comes in and here we go. We have a swap.
Changes everything.
Yep, Lamela going the other way to Sevilla, so Brian Gill coming in, Christian Romero coming in on a loan to buy from Atalanta, very highly rated center back, the Argentinian. They signed Pape Sarr from Metz, but they loaned him back out, so, you know, not much there. They got Emerson on a deadline deal from Barcelona, the right back, and that's a big one for me, Kyle. That was a huge, huge weakness for Spurs, so massive signing there. On the outs, we got Danny Rose, who hasn't played in 9 years. Moussa Sissoko, whoopee. I know you're doing a party about that one. Serge Aurier was released. I mean, hallelujah. I mean, you must have been really happy seeing that news. And then Juan Foyth going to Villarreal on a permanent deal. So, you know, Toby Alderweireld as well. You know, really, really good Spur player, but, you know, just getting old and went to Qatar or somewhere like that. So, considering that business, I mean, I think they are better than where they were going into the season. I really do. They addressed a couple of positions of need, and I'll let you get to the where they didn't address, but I'm going to give them a B. I think they're better than they were. Obviously, some holes, but got rid of some old players, got rid of some wages, and got some good, promising young players.
Yeah, I'm pretty conflicted over their window, but overall I have positive feelings. Look, I think they had two positions they desperately needed to improve in their starting 11, center back and right back. They got those with Romero and Emerson Royal, which Barca really didn't want to let Emerson go. And
Barcelona.
Oh man, what a mess. What a mess. And then Romero was named the Serie A defender of the season last year. I think that's good business. Look, I think all of these signings are actually great signings. I don't know much about Pape Sarr, but I hear he's very highly rated. And why not, as an 18-year-old wonder kid sort of signing? The reason I have mixed feelings, though, Justin, is because I just... I can't believe we're here again for like the fifth year in a row, it seems, where Spurs have not addressed the second striker issue. It's a huge, huge oversight. I know they have ideas that Son is going to also play striker, but look, man, you're going to start Kane and Son in the Premier League every time. So who's going to play in the four or whatever cup competitions are in? Sorry, three. That's a lot of games. And are they going to really rely on an academy graduate, Dane Scarlett, who's highly rated, but he's 17 years old? I mean, that seems a stretch to me, and that's a huge, huge oversight. But at the same time, look, there was so much work to do at Spurs that it was never going to happen in one window. So I'm coming away feeling really positively about that. I'm loving what I'm seeing of Brian Gil, by the way, Brian Gil from Spain. I mean, the dude looks like a straight up baller, and I don't want to overreact, but I'm really, really liking what I'm seeing. And I understand why fans in Spain were wondering, why didn't Madrid go for him? Why didn't Barca go for him? And you can see it by the way he plays. He just, you know, the ball sticks to his foot and he just, you know, his movement is great and his intelligence is great. And I'm really, really encouraged by this window, but the striker thing is an issue. So B, probably give it a B or like a 6 or 7 out of 10. But it was a challenging window and I don't know. Can't really argue.
Kane's still there, though.
It's a huge one.
That's a win.
Yeah.
It's a win. Watford Football Club, another London-based club. Look, they had a lot of signings, right? We're not going to go into every one. Did any of them improve? Most of Sissoko, maybe. I mean, maybe that's an upgrade. Emmanuel Dennis looks like a nice signing. 3.6 million from Bruges. He's come in and, you know, provided some life. So I will say that's a good signing, but look. I don't know if any player came in and made that team better. I'm going to give them a C-. I think Watford's going to struggle. They have all these in-and-out players. They have in-and-out managers. I don't know. C-.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a D for the same reason. Just in-and-out, in-and-out. You know, this looks like a Watford transfer window. And I guess that's the best I can say. I'm sure there are some gems here and there, like, you know, Ismail Assar was. But it's going to be tough for Watford. So I'm going to give them a D, though.
West Ham Football Club. There's some very active on deadline day, by the way, getting Nikola Vlasic from CSKA Moscow, Alex Kroll on a loan from Spartak Moscow. So raiding the Russian league. We don't see that often, but a couple highly rated players. They got Kurt Zuma a couple days before the transfer window shut as well. So, and Alphonse Areola to come be backup goalkeeper from PSG. PSG at one point, I think, had 8 goalkeepers on their roster. Before the season, after they bought or they signed, I should say, Donnarumma. So crazy. They sold Felipe Anderson, who was came in very highly rated, but sold him for next to nothing. Didn't really lose anything. So look, I think they got a little better. They improved their offense and Vlasic. They got defensive player and Zuma to come and improve. They have almost the exact same squad. So I'm going to give West Ham a B. I think they're a little better.
Yeah, I don't really share your same feelings.
You don't.
Look, I think what's his name? Jesse Lingard was huge for them. And I realize that Saeed Benrahma has come in and has looked great so far this season in that number 10 role. But I think West Ham had some other huge issue areas that I think good form from last season is sort of swept under the rug. Yeah, they didn't replace Lingard. Maybe that's not an issue, but they are still relying on Antonio as a striker, who's not a striker, or at least he's become become a striker in the last year or two, and he looks great. I love Antonio, and we were just singing his praises last pod, but I cannot believe they did not sign another striker. Like, I'm kind of dumbfounded, and I don't really know. I kind of have some doubts about some of these players. You know, will Kurt Zuma really be, you know, that solid starting center back for them? I don't know. I like Areola a lot. Vlasic flopped at Everton, but granted, he was very young, so maybe that's probably pretty harsh. Alex Kroll, I can't really say much about him, but just another Czech player on their squad. They have like 3 or 4 at this point.
Yeah.
Look, there's some good signings there, but I'm not sure it's a step forward from where they finished last season. So based on that, I'm going to give them a D. Maybe that's harsh, but that's just my feeling, man.
I think a little bit of slight bias creeping in there, but I do get your point about the backup striker. I think that is a glaring need that they had that they didn't address. I think holding on to Declan Rice is a win, though, for West Ham, how long he's been there.
Absolutely.
So last team, Wolverhampton Wanderers. They've looked good so far this year. They've looked really good. But they just haven't been able to score a goal. 0-3, had a tough schedule opening up. They had to replace their keeper, so Rui Patricio left, and they replaced him with Jose Sa from Olympiacos, basically going from Portugal's number one to number two keeper on the depth chart. They brought in Trincao on loan from Barcelona. He's looked really saucy early on. And then Heechan Hwang from RB Leipzig. I know a player you like, you've seen a lot, and you think he's pretty good. So, you know, not much has changed. I think the biggest change in Wolves is their coach and their playing style, right? So we just got to see that develop. By the window alone, which is what I'm rating this out of, I don't think they got any better. So I'm going to give them a C minus to C. I think Trincao is a really nice loan signing, so that might bring it up to a C, but I think they're just kind of the same. I would have liked to see another striker maybe, and maybe Heechan Hwang solves the issues, but I just don't know if Raul Jimenez has the same juice that he had before the head injury, unfortunately, which is why I give it a C, Kyle.
Yeah, I also have the same concerns about Raul Jimenez. He really hasn't looked the same. That's, you know, I don't think anyone's going to criticize him for that. It was a pretty shocking injury that he had last season, cracking his skull, and that scar on the side of his head above his ear is pretty gnarly. So I feel more positively about Wolves transfer business. Like you said, I'm loving Trincao so far. Signing Ait Nouri permanently was good business. I think Jose Sa will be good business. But I think I would have given their window an F had we graded it before the transfer deadline day. And maybe I'm putting a lot of faith in Hwang. But Hwang Ichan was a good player for... Oh, that's right. I forgot he was at RB Leipzig and hardly played, but I remember him at Salzburg when they had Haaland, and the two players that stood out to me were Haaland and Hwang. I was shocked that Liverpool went for Minamino because I didn't really see much of him in that game, but Hwang was the other dangerous striker. He's physical. He's pretty quick. How much of a goal scorer, though? That's the only part of this equation that I'm kind of like not 100% sure about, but he's a really good player, and I guess my grading is based off of the assumption that he's going to be good for them. So I'm going to give Wolves a B because I think they address the areas that they need to address. But again, a lot of that is riding on faith that I'm having in one or two of these players. But Trincao, great business, man. Great business.
So recapping the window, just going through all the teams that we just went through, I think we agree that Chelsea and then United had the best windows of the season. I think you rate Norwich up there as well with the A. I don't have them quite as high, but Chelsea and United unanimously having the best windows. And then we have Newcastle, Arsenal, and Southampton probably universally as the worst windows in the transfer window. So be curious to see how this develops. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some old takes exposed on us after the season, how we were so wrong, but we'll see what happens, especially with Arsenal Football Club. All right, moving on. I mean, we kind of ran out of time here. We were going through getting really excited about the transfer window, but we're going to skip the games this time just because of the allotted time, and we don't want to have you to listen an hour and 20 of us talking. I think an hour is enough, but I can't leave you without talking about the Manchester City Arsenal game. Granted, Xhaka's red card really impacted this game, but Arsenal were just so terrible, Kyle. I mean, complete domination. I don't know if I've seen a game more dominating than that in a English Premier League against two quote-unquote top six clubs. And I don't care that someone got a red card. That was embarrassing. Absolute embarrassing. And the XG said it too. Arsenal had one shot in that game. Manchester City had 25. And the XG was 3.8 to 0.1. 0.1. I mean, that's one of the most dominating scorelines I've ever seen.
Shocking. That is shocking. I mean, we've seen Arsenal get waxed. Like, I think one year they got waxed 6-2 or something like that by, I think it was City also. A great City side. But this just from the first minute. I mean, I think Arsenal had like one good attack, and then God, it was just a blood.
Even when they had 11 men, they were down 2-0 early on, like after 12 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It was just brutal. And I love how is Xhaka still captain? Whatever.
No, he's not.
Okay. I love how Xhaka was thinking, like, I'm going to show some passion. I'm going to show I'm going to care. And then he goes in with a two-footed tackle, and that's the way he shows that he cares. How that guy got a contract extension is beyond me. But, man, Mikel Arteta already feeling the pressure. I know it's so early to talk about a manager getting sacked, but this was embarrassing. This was shocking. Hard to know where Arsenal go from here. And now they're the biggest spenders of the window. And they really gambled on some players. So, Jesus. Man City, maybe Ferran Torres through the middle will get them through the end because he looked really good. He had great movement. But, Jesus, this game was unforgettable.
Yeah, I mean, where do Arsenal go? I mean, last year we had Ollie out basically by Christmas. We were dead wrong, both of us, on that one. Arteta's looking like that's the favorite this year. We'll see. This year it looks more obvious.
I just never in my life thought I would ever. I know we're only three games in, but I never thought I would see Arsenal at the bottom of the table. And that is what I'm like more. I'm more excited for that than Spurs being on top because we saw Spurs on top for like a month last season. A lot, you know.
I mean,
last year. No so goal, it's, I'm not going to read into it.
And no goals scored in the first three games. And I know a couple of those were against Chelsea and City, probably the two title favorites. But one of those came against Brentford too. I mean. Yes, you've had some injuries, but your Arsenal Football Club, you just spent the most money. Anyway, I'm done with my rant. That was the big game. There's also Liverpool-Chelsea that tied 1-1. We won't get into that. Very good game. Red card, and that affected that game quite a bit. Very interesting. We're not going to get into the table updates that we have from the transfer window. We will do that on a podcast shortly. But very exciting transfer window. Lots of moving pieces, lots of money spent. So I'm really excited to see that come into fruition next weekend on September 11th when Ronaldo makes his return to Old Trafford to play Newcastle United. I'm very looking forward to that.
Yes, honestly, if there was ever an episode where the entire time could be taken up by transfers, we just got to say, this was the most mental, crazy transfer window that I think I've ever seen in my entire life. So I think it warrants it. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We've also, next pod will also be interesting because, Justin, you're going to Greece on vacation for two full weekends.
I am.
I'm thinking about sitting down and having some chats with some fans of specific teams to talk about how they're feeling about their teams in the coming season. So more to come on that. Might also be bringing on a guest, maybe two, for the next pod to replace Justin. So don't worry, it won't just be me rambling all time because you don't want to listen to that.
Make sure you tune into that. I am very excited, and you'll see on that episode. But might be some familial ties, just a hint for that episode. So it could be pretty spicy. We'll leave you with that. Make sure you subscribe and listen at Over the Top on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. We will be recreating an Instagram page soon. We alluded to that in previous episodes, but we'll get to that soon.
We got banned.
So we'll get to that soon. We'll announce that and make sure you give us a follow. But until then, look forward to September 11th. Look out for those next episodes. I will see you in a couple weeks. Have a great international break, and we'll see you soon.